morning, everybody.
Hi, Kip.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to all to the Sunday morning adult discussion group here at Wings Christian Fellowship, where we just love the Lord and we love to talk about Him. Today we are in the 8th chapter of Matthew, and I think today, unless somebody has something about the centurion story that they want to go over, I think we're going to be talking about Peter's mother-in-law. I hope he has a nice one, or had a nice one. Who would like to lead us in a word of prayer?
Father, we just thank you for this day, Lord, this resurrection day, Father, of your Son, Christ Jesus. We give you praise, glory, and honor, Father. And we bless this day, and we thank you for who he was and what he did for us on the cross of Calvary. We just give him praise, glory, and honor, and we just thank you, Father, for your mercy and grace and your love toward us. Well, I ask it all in Jesus' name.
Amen. Happy Resurrection Day, everybody. So whose turn is it to read?
That's mine. So we read in Matthew
chapter... We're going to go, yeah.
14. Chapter 8, verse 14.
Let's just go to 17 and then see what happens.
Okay. And when Jesus went into Peter's house, he saw his mother-in-law lying ill with a fever. Mm-hmm. He touched her hand and the fever left her, and she got up and began waiting on him. When evening came, they brought to him many who were under the power of demons, and he drove out the spirits with a word and restored to health all who were sick. And thus he fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He himself, in order to carry away our weaknesses and infirmities, and bore away all other diseases.
Okay. That shows me the compassion of Christ. And I love it even after he was done there and when evening was come, they brought to him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word. And actually his is not in the original. It says with the word is what I would say, with the word, and healed all that were sick. Let's look up all.
I like in 17 where it says himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. He took them all, but it didn't affect him.
Mm-hmm. There was nothing in him that would grab a hold of it and keep it there. Each, every, any, all, the whole, everyone, all things, everything. And then it says, and why did that happen? That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses.
Yeah, in Isaiah 53:4, it says, surely he has borne our grief, sicknesses, weaknesses, mm-hmm. and distresses, and carried our sorrows and pains of punishment. Yet we ignorantly considered him stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God, as if with leprosy. But he he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. And the chastisement needed to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon him, and with his stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole.
Hallelujah. That also reminds me of, it's almost like a hidden message in Genesis 22, where it says, God will provide himself.
Hmm.
No, it's not 22. Where is it?
20.
20. Mm-hmm.
It's 20.
I thought it was 22:8.
Oh, okay.
God will provide himself a lamb.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. There's probably more than one where it says.
Yeah.
20? Is that one you've got for today?
Yeah, part of it.
Okay. I was going to say this is so significant as to the day that we're...
It's Genesis 22, yeah. It's verse 8.
And they came to the place where God told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar. Oh my goodness.
That's part of my sermon today, that whole thing.
The rest of that, you started saying God provided himself with the sacrifice.
God.
That sacrifice, I think, is how God sees everything through God. Not through us, but through God. But one day we'll see everything through him too. But, I mean, you know, God satisfies God.
He does all things according to his good pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
I was listening to something yesterday, and something that struck me was that after the crucifixion, Mary and the other Mary and all the women that were around, they found that the tomb, and they laid him in the tomb, and they went off to get the
spices and everything.
The spices and everything. And while they were gone, apparently it says Sabbath begins when three stars appear in the sky. You know, when it gets dark enough that you can see with your eyes three stars. And while they were gone, Sabbath occurred. And can you imagine? That all they wanted to do was get back, all Mary wanted to do was to get back to her son, to do what she could do, to anoint his body, to hug him one last time, to, you know, do all those things that you can do. And they had to wait. And they had to sit in their agony and wait. And it says that Sabbath was from, you know, sundown one day to sundown the next day. So they had to wait a full 24 hours in that sorrow and just wait it out. What more focuses on the processing of the Lord? You know, that waiting time, that time where between understanding and obtaining in spiritual matters, that time of sitting and waiting and not knowing what's coming. You've heard the stories that Jesus told you, knew something. Something's not the same. But yet you're just sitting there waiting, not knowing. And every single person in that time must have come to them with, oh, this is going to happen. Didn't you see that earthquake? Oh, it's the end of the world. Oh, it's this. Oh, it's that. You know, and you can just imagine, almost like today. It's good, it's bad, it's in between, it's what, you know, and you just have to sit there with your, and be silent, with your agony and your expectancy in there together, waiting to do what is the next thing that you can do. And so when they got up in the morning, Sunday morning, and they went to the tomb and the angel was sitting there saying, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" Wow, I think that was a lovely, beautiful story. But that in-between time is something that no matter, we understand that we need to have faith in God, but we don't know how, why, or when God is doing what he's doing. And we don't need to know that. We have to just have faith in God.
That's why I love our sign, Jesus Never Fails.
Mm-hmm.
Because to all outward appearances, everything he taught them failed. But then after that waiting period, what a glorious ending and beginning.
Amen.
I was looking for the story. I couldn't find it. Where when they went, and two men were there, and they supposed, I think, one to be maybe an angel. And they didn't know, but it says when they walked with him,
mm-hmm.
then it says that Jesus basically made them aware of his presence. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, when they left, they said, "Did our hearts not burn within us?"
Mm-hmm. That was the road to Emmaus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm going, yeah. Oh my.
Yeah.
But he opened up the word to them as they walked from beginning to, yeah.
Mm-hmm. They recognized him as he blessed the food.
Mm-hmm. When he broke the bread.
I think they were even the ones that says, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" I think that's what it says.
Mm-hmm. Jesus said that to Mary. She thought he was a gardener.
Mm-hmm. What have you done with my Lord?
Until he said, "Mary."
Mm-hmm.
And when he spoke her name,
she knew who he was.
She called him Rabboni or Rabbi, which was, you know, master, teacher. Well, we preached half of my sermon this morning. I didn't tell you all the good stuff yet, though, some of it.
Okay. I had to chuckle a little bit when he said he went to Peter's house and his mother-in-law had a fever. She was laying there.
Mm-hmm.
And he touched her hand and the fever left her. She got up and ministered to her. She fixed dinner, and she, you know. I wonder if there was a method to his meaning there. Okay, you want to read on a little further?
Don't you think her sickness was the weight that so easily beset all of us to the point to where not left her, she was free?
Mm-hmm.
Remember a couple of weeks ago when we talked about the blood, you know, a little bit about the blood, and possibly the blood in Jesus wasn't exactly the same as our blood,
mm-hmm.
you know. Well, all diseases and all sicknesses are carried through your bloodstream,
mm-hmm.
you know. And he had the combination of God's blood and human blood. You know, Mary, his mother.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't think he could get sick. Although he felt our infirmities, you know. In other words, he sensed them and he felt them, but yet they had no power over him,
right.
you know, like they have over us, you know, because we have that polluted blood, you know. And I believe that that's part of what went on there, you know.
Blessed be God. Okay, let's go on and read. Discipleship tested. Matthew 8:18. Mm-hmm. And let's go down to... Oh, yeah. Okay, let's go down to 22. 18 to 22.
Now Jesus, when he saw the great throngs around him, gave orders to cross to the other side of the lake. Mm-hmm. And a scribe came up and said to him, "Master, I will accompany you wherever you go." And Jesus replied to him, "Foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have lodging places, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Another of his disciples said to him, "Lord, let me first go and bury, care for till death, my father." But Jesus said to him, "Follow me and leave the dead in sin to bury their own dead." And after he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And suddenly, behold, there arose a violent storm on the sea, so that the boat was being covered up by waves, but he was sleeping. Mm-hmm. And then went and awakened him, saying, "Lord, rescue and preserve us. We are perishing." And he said to them, "Why are you timid and afraid, O you of little faith?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great and wonderful calm, a perfect peacefulness. And the men were stunned with bewilderment, wonder, and marveled, saying, "What kind of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?"
That's good. That's a fantastic story to chat about a little while. Comments?
They saw many miracles, I'm sure. And then he's sleeping. He's always said we're going to the other side. And yet here they awaken him and then say, "What kind of man is this?" Mm-hmm. When they've seen many things performed through him. Didn't know who he was. It's as though they.
I feel like that speaks to every one of us.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Why are you fearful? And a lot of times the storm's not out here, it's in here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if we let him come in, there's mm-hmm. calm.
That is so true. You can feel it in your spirit.
A perfect peacefulness. Mm-hmm. That's what I have in my Bible here. After was a great and wonderful calm.
I just have a picture in my mind of him where it says, and he arose and he rebuked the winds. And I can just see him going over there and saying, "Now you hush up over there, settle down." Like, even, you know, the winds were, it was no big deal. Hush up, go back to sleep.
I think that came from knowing who he was personally,
mm-hmm.
knowing that, you know, one of his names is the Prince of Peace, and the Prince of Peace spoke to the storm. Well, that same Prince of Peace will speak to our storms in our life if we will but allow it. And allowing it means to accept it. If we will accept it, no matter what conditions it is, like Oscar said a while ago, conditions didn't matter with God. Still doesn't. You know, but conditions actually get us to God. You know, he uses whatever it takes to get us aware of what he wants to break.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Anybody else?
Well, I can say some things. I try not to say a lot of stuff, guys. I want you guys to say stuff, because if I say a lot of stuff, then I end up preaching a sermon in here. Verse 20, Jesus said unto them, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Mm. What's he saying there? They hadn't come to the reality yet that they had the mind of Christ, because they hadn't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the awakening to the truth of that they had the mind of Christ. He wants to lay his head in each one of us. As we come to the place that we realize that we have the mind of Christ, well, how do we come to that realization? By acknowledging him in all of our ways, and as we acknowledge him, then that mind functions, you know. So at that point, he had nowhere to lay his head, but later on, he did have somewhere to lay his head. And if you go into deeper truths, there is a headship. There is a headship, sonship in it, you know. And the body of Christ, there is those who will lead the body into the fullness of God, I believe. If you know, because that's like if, you know, all creation's groaning and travailing, waiting for what? The manifestation, the unveiling of the sons of God, not the Son of God, one. The sons of God. Why is that? Because creation will be set free into the glorious liberty of being the children of God when that happens. And they're going to set creation free when they come to the full realization of who they are in Christ. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, we kind of have a slight vision of it right now, but we don't have the fullness of that vision yet, because if we did, we'd be walking in it totally, you know. And there's a lot of people out there that think that they've got it, but they really haven't got it yet, you know. But I like that the Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head.
Well, where would he lay his head? In his home, in his temple.
Right. In his body.
In his body.
In his body, that's right. They didn't even realize they were his body yet. Mm-hmm. They hadn't come to that revelation yet, you know. And until they had the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you know, even the things that he told them when they walked with him, they didn't totally understand them, you know, because you know, he told them about that he was going to be crucified. He told them that,
yeah.
Son of Man, you know, must be taken men and, you know, crucified and so on and so forth. And you know, they didn't really believe it, because they didn't have that awakening of the Holy Spirit within them to the point where when they heard the truth, they didn't really believe it. And it's like with us, when, you know, I've preached sermons in the past over the years and taught some things, and I would have somebody come back a couple years later and we'd be talking or something, and they'd say to me, you know, I would mention something, and they'd say, why is it I've never heard that before? And I'm thinking, because you didn't have ears to hear it when it was spoken. But it did. But his word never returns void. And the neat thing about, even with him, when he's telling them all these things, and there's types and shadows in what he's telling them, you know, his word was not going to return void, because later on they were going to be able to say, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought himself not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, mm-hmm. and then took on the form of what? A servant, mm-hmm. you know. And then in another portion of scripture, that same Paul says, we have the mind of Christ, you know. So, you know, his head was beginning to lay where it was supposed to lay, in his body, you know.
Is that not almost an identical situation as the church today? They don't have ears to hear.
And really, we have to be careful, because you can't fault them.
Yeah, that's right.
You can't fault them that they can't hear it yet.
Yes.
Because God has to open their ears, just like the deaf man, when he was spit on his on his fingers or whatever it was, and stuck it in the guy's ears. All of a sudden he could hear, you know. And we can't feel puffed up because we do hear things, or because God does show us things. We just have to do our part in helping to get the body of Christ to see the things of him, you know. Anyway, so what'd you think about let the dead bury the dead?
Well, I like the way that Buddy Dead in sins. Says dead in sins.
Mm-hmm.
That he who is dead in sins.
Well, and what was it say back in Genesis? In the day that you eat thereof, you shall what?
Surely die.
Surely die. Mm-hmm. Well, Adam and Eve didn't fall over dead then. Well, what happened? They entered into the realm of death.
Mm-hmm.
Because up until that point, they couldn't die either.
Mm-hmm.
And it took years. How many years did those guys live? Hundreds of years. We ain't even hit that point yet. Or we live hundreds of years. Some people
saying,
will make it to 100.
They were saying that anybody that lived to be 100 was a baby back in those days.
Yeah, let the dead bury the dead. Well, because we realize that if we don't know him, then we're still operating in the realm of death, you know. And we've made a, like it says back in Isaiah, I think it's 40 or 41, where in chapter 40 or 41, where it says you made a covenant with hell and with death. You know, well, the church, to a certain extent, has made a covenant with hell and with death, because they're going to tell you you're going there all the time, you know. And you need to break that covenant and go in the covenant of life, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think in 26 and 27, where it says, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? After they had seen so many things happening with him as they were walking with him. And then when he woke up and he calmed the wind and the sea, their reality came in. Their perception of who he was changed dramatically when he calmed the wind and the sea. He was much more than what they had seen.
Mm-hmm.
I think they came to the realization that he was God.
Yeah.
Well, we know Peter did anyway.
Yes.
Who do you say I am?
That's right.
You know, in verse 27 it says, and the men were stunned with bewilderment, wonder, and marvel, saying, what kind of man in my Bible
is
captain?
What man is this, yeah.
This, that even the winds and the sea obey him.
Mm-hmm. What kind?
And you know what he was? What kind of man he was? He was the fulfillment of what God said in Genesis, mm-hmm. when he said, let us make man in our own image and our own likeness, and let him have dominion. He was the fulfillment of that,
mm-hmm.
not Adam. Because Adam was short of that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people want to exalt Adam into some exalted being.
Mm-hmm.
He was the last Adam, like it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. First man was of the earth, what?
Earthy.
And the last man was what?
Son.
Lord from heaven?
Yeah.
He was a spiritual man.
I'm not sure exactly how the total revelation of who we are is going to come to us, but I know that its foundation is going to be true love and understanding for every other human being, no matter the acts that they perform while dead in sin. Do you know what I mean? There are some really, really awful people who have wonderful stories of rebirth, born again. We all need to be born again. And for us to judge a man by who he is when he is in the under death, when he is still in that covenant with death, that is eating of the wrong tree. You know, there's something about that that I know is there's the key, and it's something that we can't attain until we allow God to change that in us, that we will love, 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 and keep loving.
Well, love is the fulfillment of it all. Yes. And everything in Him, you know.
And when I feel myself not loving, or even attributing this one's lower and that one's higher, this one's good and that one's not, something isn't of God in that. And it's still taking a while for it to become so real that it envelops me. But I know that that's where I have to go to find it. To not judge.
Quiet. You know, a lot of times when you read the Gospels, people skim just over the top of it, you know, and they don't really take time to actually compare it with other scripture and say, Lord, what does this really mean, and what are you really saying here, and all that kind of stuff. And that's really what we need to do as we look at any scriptures. We need to ask the Lord, what are you really trying to say to us, you know. And, you know, a lot of times we'll find out if we do that, He'll open it up and it'll be way more vast than what it just is right there on the surface, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's not saying that the surface part of it isn't true, because it is true. Mm-hmm. But it, you know, there's levels to the things in God, you know. And, you know, we really know so very little. You know, at this point.
Since everyone is quiet, I'm going to share something that maybe I shouldn't. But I don't care. Okay, so we were at a church last night. It was beautiful service. And then they had the altar call. Sorry. And they had to pull out that old standard. Just suppose that you were driving home tonight and you had an accident. Could you be sure where you were going to wake up? You know, are you going to die in your sins, or are you going to give your life to the Lord? And my heart was cringing. I'm saying, please don't say that to people. Please don't give them fear. You know? And one sweet little girl went up there and gave her heart to Jesus. But I couldn't say that I approved of their methodology. Taste and see that He is good. You know, don't fear that you're going to perish. His disciples came to Him and awoke Him, saying, Lord, save us, lest we perish.
But they can only give out of what they know, what they
yes.
have.
That's right.
Yes.
That's only about.
Yes.
And God could have been dealing with her. And they said this, but who knows what is going to go from that step on in her life.
You know,
yeah.
Paul even said one time, some people even preach Christ to contention.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, to argument.
Mm-hmm.
He said, but I glory that they're preaching him. He said,
at all.
That's right. Because many times you mention the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, and what he did, it has an effect, even if it's on that level, you know, of
mm-hmm.
like what was done there.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. If that's the way God uses that particular person at
yes.
that time, that's okay. And we need to not be judgmental in the sense that
yes.
that we lessen it, you know, because God, you know, I think many times about the stuff with Smith Wigglesworth and stuff I've read about him over the years. And one time he went on a thing in the catacombs, you know, over in Rome, you know, and he struck up this conversation with the priest that was leading him through the
mm-hmm.
through there. And the priest said to him, he said, you know, he said, Smith, he said, you'd make a great Catholic, you know. And Smith told him, he said, I am a Catholic. Well, a Catholic, the word Catholic means universal. That's what it means. That's what that word means. And he said, I am a Catholic. He said, but you'd make a great Christian if you gave your life to the Lord. And he led the life back to the Lord, you know. And there's going to come a day when all that silliness, God's going to break through all that. And he has to be the one to break through it. And you know, we don't need to look to be smart alecky to people or anything like that. But there's going to come a time when you're going to speak a word, and that word is going to help release people,
yes,
you know.
Jesus.
And thank God that that's going to happen. I mean, and it is happening, and it does happen, you know what I mean. I won't say it's just going to happen, but it does happen.
With mercy and compassion
yeah.
for this generation.
Right. Well, and you can't, one of the greatest scriptures that was ever written was where it said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Didn't send his son into the world to do what?
Condemn
the world. But that they might have life and have it abundantly. And Jesus was that abundant life. He was all of that. And as we're part of the body of Christ and we come to the fullness of where we're supposed to be, or where he's taking us to, I'll say,
mm-hmm.
not necessarily
mm-hmm.
supposed to be, because I think, you know, when you're 15, you can say, I'm a full-grown man, and guess what? You ain't a full-grown man yet. You're going to experience a lot of things before you, you know, so, you know, but it's, I don't know, it's... Sometimes, you know, and even in that, we should rejoice anytime
yes.
we see somebody make a commitment
yes.
to the Lord. The problem is that a lot of times after that person makes a commitment, then the people send them out to do something that they're no way
mm-hmm.
ready to do or equipped to do that or anything else. And then a lot of times they end up pulling back from that whole commitment because they feel somebody... The children of this world are wiser than the children of light in their own generation. And in other words, they can take you to the woodshed and make you feel foolish after a while if you don't really know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a lot of times when they're trying to get everybody to go out and witness about Jesus Christ, if you're going to witness about what he's done for you personally and leave it go at that if you're a young Christian, you know. And a lot of times they try to get out and argue with people and all that stuff, and it just makes it hard on them, makes it bad on them, and they end up falling short, you know. But I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I remember a good old boy. He was one of our truck drivers somewhere that I worked. His name was Boyd Coots. If he's listening, I love you, Boyd. Anyway, Boyd Coots went to a Baptist church one night, and he got saved. And somebody told him, now you go out and tell 5 people tomorrow that you got saved. I don't, you know, that's a hard thing to do. Because Boyd Coots hung around with a rough crowd, you know. And I was in the office doing something, there were people around, and he came in and he says, he just seemed so uncomfortable in this, you know, and he says, I got saved last night. Oh, Boyd, I said, thank you for sharing that with me. I know that took a lot, you know, and he said, and I said, I'll never forget the night that I got saved. And I could just see his heart change a little bit. And it wasn't a big deal. They shouldn't have had him do it, you know. But who knows, you know, who knows. The thing of it is, for me, the hard part is not judging those who come through fear because they've been made to fear. It's judging those who have made them fear, you know. And I shouldn't do that. I mean, no. There's no should and shouldn't. That is not helpful either, you know. It's not helpful to anyone to judge. You know, they're doing the best that they can with what they have.
Look at the things that we did when we first got saved. I tell you, I look back at some things. Oh my Lord. But you were sincere in your heart.
Yes.
And your intent was to really show, you know, Christ.
Oh.
But boy, some of the teachings you had was.
I remember Darlene as well. I will never forget this. Darlene, I know you're listening and you'll get a good chuckle out of it too today. We worked for a Jewish guy, the donut guy, when we worked at the donut place. And there was only Darlene and I in the office, and I didn't know a thing about this, but Darlene got saved. The next week in the paychecks of every person at that company, there was one of those three steps to salvation pamphlets that Darlene shoved in there with the paychecks. Oh, there was a huge, you know, outcry. And
was she Darlene Emswaller?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
God bless her. She wants everybody to have what she got free.
She sure did.
You know? I'm sure that God saw that and loved her for it and used it mightily. Yeah.
When I was working with my brother, we had one customer who owned a chrome plating business, and the old man, his name was Maury Green. And Maury was Jewish, you know. The name tells you that right there. Maury was Jewish, and I had never had really talked to him about the Lord or anything, you know, but he knew I was a Christian. I don't know how he knew or whatever, but anyway, because I never did tell him, you know, and I don't think a lot of times you have to tell anybody. If you just treat people good and stuff, all of a sudden they start knowing. But anyway, he come over to me and he says, you know, he says, when the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea, he says, I know where they did it at. And I said, oh yeah? He said, yeah, he says, they went to this place called the Sea of Reeds. And he said, and the water was only about a foot deep there. And I said, really? I said, boy, that's something, Mark. He says, yeah. I said, man, that's a miracle. He says, well, what do you mean? I said, that God could drown the Egyptian army in a foot of water. I said, man, that's a miracle.
Look how small the horse
you know,
were.
You know what? He never came and told me anything else. Never did after that. But I didn't say, well, Maury, that's not right. You know, they did this, they did that, and got part of the sea and all that stuff. I just said to him, I said, well, you know, Maury, I said, gosh, that's a miracle. I said, praise the Lord. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, I said that God could, you know, drown the whole Egyptian army in a foot of water or whatever. You know, but people try to, they try to hit you with stuff to see if they can mess you up, and they do that, you know, but that's fine. But I didn't still arguing with him or anything. I just went right along with what he said. He didn't know what to say to me. But you know what? So many times, like you said with her, now she hurt putting those in there. If God didn't tell her to do that, then you know what? She's going to get a lot of flack from that, a ton of flack, you know. Did anybody come back later on and testify that they gave their life to the Lord because of that little?
No.
Well, see, and sometimes we try to do something that God isn't really telling us to do, and then we get in trouble for it.
But you never know on down the road that God might bring that little track to somebody.
Yeah.
Well, she was just a baby Christian.
She was.
And
I look at all.
I got saved when I was about 14 years old, and then every 2 weeks after that, because I just didn't understand, you know, the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Every 2 weeks, you needed a refill.
Uh-huh. You know, you fear. It came from fear, I guess, that you offended God by something that you said or did. I'm sure I'm not the only one that did that.
Should have been raised Catholic.
Tell us about it, Mike.
You have to go to confession every Saturday.
Friday.
I remember when I got saved, I was so thrilled with the prospect that God was living within me. Mm-hmm. That I think I was very slow, and this is a confession here, very slow to identify to anyone else unless I knew that they really, really, really wanted to hear. Because God was already dealing with me, that his word never returned void. And I went up to one guy and I said, hey, we're having a revival at church. I said, would you like to come? I said, I just got saved. And he came on Thursday night and he got saved. God knew that one meant a lot to me. And I didn't, you know, I've never been ashamed of the Lord. I didn't go around looking, but I think he changed the way I seen things to where he goes like this, I want you to show them me. You don't have to tell them or nothing, just show them me. And that's where I love the state of Missouri, the show me state. Because I think in reality, people watch us so much. They want to see something different. And if you're different, you don't have to open your mouth. A lot of times not opening your mouth will get them to thinking they're listening for curse words and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And they're not hearing any. Then they see you get into something that would make them cuss. Mm-hmm. And you start singing. And you got a song to sing. Mm-hmm. And they go, I don't know about you, you're different. But you know what? We're called to be different. Mm-hmm. We're called to be peculiar. I think that's what mm-hmm. the scripture says. A peculiar people. And I'm thinking, I know in my life I fulfilled being strange. But it didn't offend me at all. And I'm thinking, you know, have you ever wanted to say something to somebody? And I'm going back into James. Be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. And you go like this, that's not to be said. You know, you felt like you should say something, but God and his spirit would go, oh no, now's not the time to speak. He would hold your tongue. And I know that people have a hard time believing I've ever held my tongue. But I think it comes down from, would it restore or destroy? He's the restorer of the breach.
And I think that in our lives, we're probably the spacer that fills in that breach. We're supposed to be the one that fills it in. And you fill it in by, I think I've heard Oscar say a lot of times, by tasting good. You know, let, you know, taste me. Brother Eddie used to say that all the time. Taste me and see that I'm good. He wasn't talking about Brother Eddie. He's talking about Jesus Christ. You know? Anyway, I'll shut up.
You got something, Brenda?
Mm-mm. Just
Buddy, got something for us?
No, I don't.
Just enjoying hearing it.
Mikey? Got something for us?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, it's pretty close to closing time. Deb? I know Oscar's got something for us. Come on. Close us up here.
Nope, I don't have anything.
Wow.
He's keeping it until he gets out.
Yeah.
Yeah. He just gave us a little taste.
Wow. A little taste.
Wow.
No, the only thing I'll say is this, is that when a lot of times when we are to let people taste our lives, but there is times if we start thinking that we're more than that we are, and anything that we are that because of who's inside of us, Jesus Christ, that spirit. And we don't always function in that mm-hmm. spirit 100% of the time right now. Mm-hmm. And there is times when you will fall short, or you will say something mm-hmm. that you shouldn't say, or do something that you shouldn't do. And when that happens, we just need to ask God's forgiveness. And if we've offended somebody in some way, and we know we have, we need to go back and apologize to them. Because I got news for you. Most people, if they flare up on you or something like that, if they don't know Jesus Christ, they're not going to come back and apologize to you. Because they're going to justify what they said to you and stuff like that. So I think a lot of times we have to realize that even when we've done the right thing and functioned in the right way, it's not really because of us, it's because of the Spirit of Christ in us, you know. And if we start thinking a little bit more of the self life than we should, He'll definitely let us stumble, you know. And when we stumble, it's just like Peter. You know, Peter was a great guy. He said, in the natural, he was a great guy. He was a fisherman, bold guy. Lord, they'll all deny you. I won't.
Yeah.
You know, you ever made any statements to that of any effect to God? Lord, I'll do it. Mm-hmm. And guess what? You get down to the point, and guess what you do? Exact opposite of what you said. Because if you didn't say that by the Holy Spirit, you said it out of your own pride or your own abilities or whatever, you know, that kind of thing. And, He knows how to humble us, and He will humble us. And it's not because He's being mean to us, it's because He's letting us know that we were functioning in the wrong spirit in that, you know, in the spirit of self rather than in the spirit of God. And, you know, but that's all I got to say,
Fantastic. Deb, would you close us out?
Sure. Lord, we do thank you for choosing us to dwell in.
Yes.
Where would we be without you?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Lord, help us not be offended by man mm-hmm. or woman. Lord Jesus, but just to, as you did, take the stripes because you know that it's going to accomplish what you want it to. We just thank you for your mercy and grace. And on this
yes.
resurrection day, we thank you that you live and that you live in us.
Thank
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.